Hey, I'm Kirsty.
I'm AJ. We're two besties who grew up next door to each other, and we've managed to stay friends even though we have almost nothing in common.
So welcome to the How Are We Still Friends podcast, where two opposites look at what life's like on the other side of the fence.
Kirsty, it is our last episode.
Oh, I'm so sad.
Yes, we have decided to end season one of How Are We Still Friends.
A whole season and you don't even know the name of our podcast.
There is a reason I have managed to avoid naming our podcast for a whole season. But
my goodness.
We thought with the baby coming along and life getting in the way, now is a good time to put a pin in it for now.
Go on hiatus and leave the people wanting more.
Exactly. So instead of picking a topic this week, we decided that you guys could pick the topics. And so we've had a bunch of questions come in that we are going to try to answer.
Some of them are deep. Some of them not so deep. I'm a fan of both styles, to be honest. But yeah, there are some good questions here from our listeners. So why don't we get straight into it, AJ? I'm going to ask you the first question. The first question comes from our mate Bonnie. And she said, what was your sliding doors moment if you had one? And how different do you think your life would have been? So it's a tricky question.
Do you have an answer?
I think for me, my sliding doors moment was probably deciding to go on a date with Denz, I think. Mm-hmm. If I hadn't have been open to a relationship with him, I can't even imagine what my life would have looked like. I would probably have been single and partying for a really long time, desperately looking for a partner, and I wouldn't have moved out.
You were still kind of partnering for a long time.
Partnering?
Partying? Yes, partying.
It's true, I was. Maybe I would have been a little bit more wild if I didn't have my other half there with me the whole time, partying alongside. But I think that, meeting him and beginning to date him just changed the whole course of my life. And I'm not looking at that in a romantic way. This is not a rom-com. It's simply just a fact of like my life now, my whole adult life has been shaped by, you know, going on that date with him and proceeding into a relationship with him. And I would like to hope that at this point in my life, regardless of whether I was with Denz or with someone else, that I would be in a similar position. But I honestly have no idea. It's really hard to say, but I think that was my sliding doors moment. Yeah. There's probably been smaller ones, but that would be the big one, I think.
Yeah. I don't really know that I've got one sliding doors. It's sort of like a series of small ones, you know. Absolutely. My life would have changed if, you know, one of the boys that I was ready to literally move across the world, you know, to live with had been ready to commit. That would have absolutely been a sliding doors moment, but I feel very much like I have made decisions to make my life the way that it has been. And so, yeah, there's been no one specific moment. Perhaps getting my job in copywriting, which, you know, when I went and did the interview for that was only for Centrelink. It was only so I could stay on the dole and I had to go and do it. And I did not want to be a copywriter. I did not want to have a career. I really didn't want to have a career. I wanted to just keep working casual jobs and traveling. And that could have been a sliding door moment because it did send me down the path of being a professional woman, which has its good side and its bad side to it. So, yeah, maybe that one.
I think that's a good one. That seems to really fit because it has sort of definitely set your life in.
Yeah. And the bosses that I had then really sort of nurtured me to become a digital nomad and freelancer, to be honest with you. So that was a kind of a rolling moment, you know, like a rolling stone moment. It built mm-hmm. built momentum over time. So yeah, probably that one. But I have a question for you that kind of aligns with what your sliding door one was.
Okay.
And that is going clubbing as a, as an adult. What are our experiences of going clubbing as an adult?
Thanks to Christina for this question. Well, see, it's funny. I've been chatting recently with friends about how we're all just desperate for a big boozy night out, but I am unfortunately still many months away from that being a possibility.
Yeah.
And then we sort of said, but where would we go?
No, I hated clubbing. I never liked clubbing. When I was 17 years old and all my friends were 18 years old and I couldn't go clubbing, it was the best excuse ever. Sorry, I'm not of age. And then I hit 18 and I had to start making up excuses. I do remember going clubbing with you once, and it was probably the biggest fight we've had in our entire lives. We were both really drunk, and we went home on the night bus and sat, like, I think I sat up the back and you sat down the front, and I don't think we talked to each other for about 6 months after that.
Stop. Yeah. I don't remember this at all.
Yeah, we went into the city and we were in Melbourne Central, and I remember crying in a corridor, and that's about it. But
what did we fight over?
I have no idea. I'd have no idea. Could not remember. But I don't think we talked for a while after that. So
Wow. You
and I don't do well with clubbing together.
No,
but I hate clubbing
not.
In general. I really hate clubbing in general. And I have only gone out of peer pressure. And I've hated every time. I've been told I'm a child. I just don't like it. So, like, I would much rather have an adult dinner at home with friends or just not go out.
That's fair enough. It's not for everyone. I love clubbing, but I think that's just because I really love just dancing my ass off for hours and hours and hours and hours. I'm not there for finding a guy. I've never, because I've been with Dens the whole time we started dating when I was 17 and a half. So I think I had been out once or twice prior to getting into a relationship with him, and I wasn't really looking for attention from guys, because that's not why I went out. I just kind of would go out to dance. So we did go out a lot when we were younger. We had a favorite place that we would go, and it was just so fun. And Dens didn't really drink a lot, so he would often drive, which would make getting there and getting home a lot easier.
Well, not when we had to get the night bus.
No, I can't. I think I did that once or twice. I don't remember doing it that often, but gosh, that was a big drive.
I think as well, clubbing is not my culture. They don't play music I like. I hate most clubbing music, and everybody sort of just sings along and raps along these days. And I'm just
thank
this music.
God. I would pass out if I walked into a club and they were playing Coldplay or something. I would.
Ew, that's just not clubbing music either.
Yeah, but you like Coldplay. I'm saying I would go home and I would fall on the ground and cry and be we need to leave immediately. That's horrible. No, I love clubbing. I still do love it. I just don't have a crowd to go out and do it with now.
I like dancing at weddings because that is fun, all crowd music. For me, clubbing's a lot about being cool. It's about it just the vibe for me. I hate it, but weddings are good vibe, and you can sit down.
I love weddings. Weddings are my favorite thing to go to, mainly for that reason, for just dancing all night. Yeah, totally. Although I think these days, going out quote unquote clubbing for me is going to a Baba show with my mom and my sisters and having too many vodka sodas and just like screaming along with the band while we dance to, you know, Dancing Queen right at the front of the stage. It's tragic. It is so tragic, but it is always so much fun. Yeah. So that and weddings is my version of going out clubbing as an adult now.
So does this answer another one of the questions about what our guilty pleasures are?
Yes. Thank you to, I think that was a Nay question, was it? No. This is a Susie question. Susie said, what are our guilty pleasures? I have mentioned on the podcast before, I'm obsessed with the Real Housewives of any city. I love all of the Below Deck franchises. I'm just big on any shows that are on the American network Bravo. And I don't know that I would call them guilty pleasures because I'm not ashamed of it. But that would be, yeah. So guilty pleasure would be that. And yeah, probably ABBA. I love me some ABBA. Yeah. What about you? What are your guilty pleasures?
Probably when I'm feeling really overwhelmed with the world, I have to dive back into Dawson's Creek. And like that kind of just makes me feel so good again. Like just, it's like revisiting old friends. So yeah, Dawson's Creek, bit of Glee maybe.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't mind Glee when it was on, like when it was on its original run, but
yeah, got diving in and out. Meh. No.
Okay, fair. Dawson's Creek, I didn't like. I know that you love going back to old shows, but I didn't think that that was.
To be honest, I don't really like going back to that many old shows, like movies. Yeah, but TV shows, I get really bored by them, and I actually hate most. Probably, like to be honest with you, guilty pleasure. I think a better thing is like guilty hates, because there are so many things that are mainstream popular that I hate. So it's like, so
you're
like,
such a Grinch.
Yeah. Like I find Friends a very unfunny and outdated show.
I'm ending this podcast right now. Yeah. We're not going on a hiatus. We're finished forever.
I mean, you knew I don't really like Beyonce like very much at all. So if you haven't left now, you know, I don't maybe find the Hangover funny.
Maybe, no, hang on. Just going back to Beyonce for a moment. Maybe this is our sliding doors moment. Maybe our podcast and friendship could have continued on forever. But if you insult Friends and Beyonce in the same breath, we're done.
No, sorry. All right. Well, let's get another question up here. What have we learned from one another, presumably while doing this podcast?
I have learned from you that I need to expand the vocabulary that I use. What? So I have a really good receptive vocabulary, but I tend to just say the same words in different sentences, in different combinations. I don't expand. Right. I think last episode you used the word tautological and I was like, I know what that means, but I would never use it in a sentence because I'm just lazy. Oh. I would say redundant. So I need to expand my expressive vocabulary a bit more.
My vocabulary is not that amazing, to be honest with you. I say a lot of words without actually understanding the meaning of them and having to check.
Listeners, can you hear me rolling my eyes?
All right. What have I learned from you? Do you know, you take everything quite lightly. And I like that. I really like that. I would like to take things more lightly.
Okay. I'll take that as a compliment. Thank you. I like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just not having too many opinions and just letting everything be.
I think that's just laziness.
Well, then I would like to be more lazy.
Okay. To try it. It's great. I think a question that kind of piggybacks off that one a little is from Bonnie again. If you had one golden piece of advice for listeners, what would it be? This is a tough one. Hey.
Listen to us.
The advice that kind of springs to my head is often parenting related.
Right.
You know, so that's not going to be super relevant to a lot of our listeners. But I think it's such an old cliche, but I think treat others as you want to be treated. I don't like when people are, for want of a better word, mean or disrespectful just because they can be, and you wouldn't want people to treat you that way, so why do you go around, like, just give everybody the benefit of the doubt and just be nice to everybody. It's not hard. It doesn't take a lot of energy and you're going to feel better for it. That's so cheesy, but it's just, there's a few things that have been happening.
It feels
lately.
Like it still needs to be said.
It absolutely does.
Yeah, 100% I agree with that. Mine would probably be apply the blinkers.
Oh, yes. Elaborate.
Stop looking at what everyone else is doing. Stop looking at how everyone else looks. Stop looking at how they're living their lives and just apply the blinkers and find the life that makes you happy and just go for that.
I love that. That is a really good piece of advice. Excuse me. Pregnancy symptom. I have a very itchy breast.
Okay, because you scrunched up your face when I said it. And I was like, you don't agree?
I was like, can I get away with doing this without explaining to you what I'm doing visually? No, I can't.
No, she's currently got her hand down her hoodie, everybody. Having a good itch. So I'll go on with the next question.
Oh, no. And the way that this is all played out, it's not going to be easily removed. So this is all obviously
going in.
Everyone's going to hear about me scratching my boob.
Yeah. Exactly.
Bloody
All right. Now, I've got another one. How do we go about making friends as adults?
Oh, this is a good one from one of our listeners and my friend Sarah. She actually asked me this a little while ago. It suggested it as an episode topic and we kind of never got there. but interestingly, I'm quite shy when it comes to meeting people. Yeah, I don't know. People don't often think of me as shy. Once you meet me, you don't think of me as shy, but I'm quite shy. Mm-hmm. I don't approach people. I won't start conversations. There's been a couple of exceptions in my life, and one of them was how I scored my friend Jess, another listener. I kind of just muscled my way into their group, which was weird and out of character for me. But no, typically as an adult, I wait for someone to approach me, which is weird. I don't think that there's been... So as an adult, I didn't make a lot of friends up until I got pregnant. Mm. And then when I got pregnant, there was like the pregnancy physio class. So you, you're there meeting all the ladies there, and then you have an after baby physio class as well. So, you know, then I met my friends, Susie and Sarah. Susie was through the council arranged mothers group. Sarah, I met at a park one day when our kids sort of were like playing around each other. Christina, I met through Sarah. Like, so all of the friends that I have collected, and I have collected a few new friends in the past couple of years since falling pregnant with Hux, and it's been great and I love it. But a lot of them have been kid related, and I don't know that we would have necessarily crossed paths or become friends if there wasn't a kid. Like if we didn't have that link in common. So as an adult, I wouldn't know how to go and make friends with someone as an adult. I couldn't tell you how to or where to go. So I'd be useless if I needed to date. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'd probably do online, but like, I don't know. Where do you meet people? How do you make friends?
Yeah, I actually find it relatively easy to make friends. I suppose I've had honestly just a shit ton of training, because in all my years of solo traveling, you would arrive in a new place, and if you felt like not being on your own, you would just have to walk into a hostel room and be like, hey, I'm AJ, who are you? Do you want to do something today? So to be honest, there's no bigger confidence builder than traveling solo. There's nothing that makes you quite so comfortable in your own skin as traveling solo, because you make friends fast. And there's, I think, a really wonderful thing about making friends when there's no long-term commitment. There's no expectations. You're like, some of the best friendships I've had have been a fleeting one day friendship, and then that's it. They disappear from my life, but oh my God, like just so much fun.
I'm really offended by that. Just going to put it out there.
Other best friendships I've ever had are long-term friendships. So I actually faced this problem big time when the pandemic started, because I had invested my entire friendship circle overseas. And so like I would be able to travel to Europe and stay at half a dozen houses, you know, sleeping in couches because I had made friends all over the world. But when the pandemic happened and I was like, oh, I'm going to be in Melbourne for a while. And not only that, but I'm going to be in my little suburb for a while, probably. I was like, okay, I need to start making some local friends. And so I actually, I guess you just find something in your life that's relevant and you you go for it. So for you, it's you have a child, and so you go for parenting circles. For me, I have a business baby, and so I found a business community. And honestly, it's not easy. Like the first time I went, I signed up to go to a brunch, a Sunday brunch. And that means you're walking into a room of 15 plus women, not knowing a single one of them, like not even knowing what the host looks like. And you've walked into a cafe, like just on the hunt for this group. So I'm like super shy as well, but it's like, I will sit in a car and watch people enter a building and psych myself up to go in. But once I'm in, it's just like I sort of step into another self and kind of just go with the flow. And I'm especially less shy if I know there's no expectations of these relationships going anywhere. Like I can be really at ease. So yeah, I went to this business community, went to the brunch, and it was really welcoming and friendly. And so I went to another one and another one, and you know, people add you on Instagram and you continue your conversations on Instagram, and then you take it offline again. And it's wonderful. So I also do that when I'm traveling. Like normally when I go to Bali, I'll look for a share house and I'll make friends with all of my housemates in an instant. And it's like, we become family for the whole time that I'm there. And it's just beautiful. And I will go to a co-working space and go to all the social events at the co-working space and meet people that way. And yeah, like you do tend to find, when you look in circles like that, you do tend to find people who you just have a lot in common with.
Well, building on that,
mm-hmm.
Traveling. So Jess has asked, when and where will you return to traveling? You, AJ, specifically.
Mm-hmm. At the moment, I'm in a rental situation. And I can't like leave for long periods of time while I'm renting. So the answer is not this year, but I still have a nomadic spirit. So like I'm looking for tons of opportunities to travel locally every weekend I get, whenever I can get away. But look, I've already got at least 3 countries in mind for next year. Places that I would love to go to and probably will go to. So,
and they are
actually 4. South Korea, one. I've got to go back to Indonesia, back to Bali. My friends are moving to Malaysia, and so I'm automatically like, yep, I'm going to be there for a couple of months. The wonderful thing about work is just knowing I can go there and just spend long amounts of time. And I should probably go back to the UK and see all my family there. So like the plans are building, and when this rental situation ends, I will effectively be possibly homeless, and so that's when I can just take off and be, you know, footloose and free.
So building on that further, Susie wants to know the best and worst travel destinations. So I'm gonna go first because my best is a tie. I can't choose between Manhattan and the Maldives. They were both just, they're very, very different, obviously. But I love them both for different reasons. In fact, Tuesday night, Denz and I were walking through the city and it was really quiet. We were just walking along the Yarra, right near Flinders Street Station, actually, but there was no one else around. And he goes, do you miss the noise of New York? And I was like, yes, I really, really do. Ew. Like I'm desperate to go back there. I haven't been in 3 years. My itch needs to be scratched. But then at the same time, absolutely nothing beats lounging on your own deck over a lagoon with like stingrays and sea turtles just swimming past beneath you, you know. That is my idea of heaven. So to me, they are the best destinations. The worst, I actually... Noumea in New Caledonia, I've been there a couple of times. I went once as a kid for high school, and then I went once on a cruise maybe 10 years ago, and I wasn't particularly inspired by it as a place, but we didn't spend very long there. It was only kind of a day, so Didn't love it. Don't recommend it. The other islands around there were nicer. That was just kind of like a city.
Yeah.
What about you? I know it's going to be a hard question for you to answer.
yeah. I mean, it feels impossible. I have so many favorite countries for so many different reasons. But I suppose if I'm thinking about overall for other people, I found Cusco an incredible travel destination. I ended up staying in Cusco far, far, far longer than I ever planned when I went there. And even just recently, I've been like dreaming of it and going back there, but going back there with like my dad or my sister or someone and showing them around, because it's just full of history and it's stunning, and the natural elements, like it's just in the most beautiful location. There's hiking, there's museums, there's just everything. There's obviously Machu Picchu. Machu Picchu is number one, my most absolute favorite travel experience in the world. Like it's still my highlight of my life, basically. But there are so many, there are so many places that I love. I love Malaysia, I love Indonesia, I love Nepal. Worst travel destination. It's hard to.
You've been to some shady places. I remember being genuinely scared for your safety many times over the years when you're like, yeah, I was walking the dark streets late at night in this terribly crime-ridden place.
You're just thinking of the machete experience.
Well, maybe. Maybe you should tell us about that.
Oh, I mean, that's getting dark, but there was a girl, I was staying in a very, very, very tiny town on a lake in Guatemala, and another girl around my age, foreigner, was actually abducted and raped. And so we were all told we weren't allowed to leave the hostel at all, but if we did, that we should take a machete with us wherever we go. So yeah, but that was not my worst travel destination by a long shot.
How is it not? I would have just been like, see ya.
To be honest with you, my worst travel destinations always just are places that align with where I got exceptionally ill.
Heartbreak. Oh, okay. I thought I was on the right track there, but no.
No, the second would be probably New York City. No, I'm joking. I'm not a big city fan. That I wouldn't call them the worst travel destinations, because I know that people like them, but I just don't like big cities.
Oh, no. I said heartbreak, the places where you have your heart broken.
Oh, heartbroken. Oh, no. I thought you like your own heart was breaking over New York City. No, actually I love, I mean, my heart's normally broken when I get back to Melbourne and it doesn't continue.
That's so true.
I have very fond memories of all of the places where I've had flings, but, yeah, no, I can't, I really can't just straight out say a worst travel destination.
Okay, that's good, especially considering how many that you've been to. So great. There's a question here from Nay that just totally changing lanes. Okay. And actually it's kind of combined with a question from Bonnie. So I'll read them together because I know what your answer is going to be anyway. So Nay's question is, if you could change your profession and were guaranteed success, what would you consider changing to? And then Bonnie's kind of sister question is, if money was no barrier, what would you do with your time? And I'm combining them because we know what your answer is going to be.
Yeah. I mean, do I even say it? It's just such a like duh moment. It's just, I would write a book. I would just spend the rest of my life being an author. What about you?
I don't know. I'm not actually sure. I've given this question a little bit of thought and I don't really know. Like in terms of changing profession and being guaranteed success, I suppose if we're talking about if that means being guaranteed financial security at a rate of remuneration that I am happy with, I would probably do something like be a zookeeper or a dolphin trainer or something like that. I really love animals and I love working with animals. So if that could support me financially, then probably I would go in that direction. But if money was no barrier, what would I do with my time? That's kind of a different question for me, because I would probably actually do an AJ and spend my time traveling. Ooh. But like luxury traveling, not AJ traveling. So
to be honest with you, if I was super successful, I'd probably do luxury traveling too.
Well, there you go. Money's not an object. You said, so hang on. The question was, if money was no barrier, what would you do with your time? You still said write a book. Mate, I'm going to lie on the beach somewhere with cocktails and a nanny. Look, I say that, I'm sure I'd get bored within the space of a couple of months and I would be studying something or working in some way. I don't know that I could be not working for the rest of my life, but I would certainly take a decent chunk of time to just travel and relax and, yeah, get a nanny and just live my life. But, yeah. So do we want to go a little bit deeper for a moment and talk about a question that you received, AJ, which is how did you overcome your social anxiety issues? Question mark.
I'm not entirely sure I have. yeah, I mean, well, I guess I have in terms of going from a house-ridden child to traveling the world. I honestly don't really know. I think giving myself the opportunity to literally remove myself from society as a teenager just helped me get to know who I was and gave me the strength to be able to go back into the world, into society. And then probably finding something that I loved and finding people who love the same thing as me at uni helped me really overcome a lot of just feel, you know, accepted and comfortable among people. They really were, that group of people at uni really were like my family for a long time. I guess I was still scared of a lot of things, but I always did everything in very piecemeal ways. So like when it came to work, before I went and got a retail or a hospitality job, I went and volunteered in a Oxfam shop to be able to build up my skills and give myself the confidence to go, okay, I can do this now. I can go and do paid work. And like with travel, my first solo destination, I had family waiting at the other end and a detailed list of instructions on how to get through airports and get out the other side. So that sort of also helped me overcome any homesickness and that sort of thing. So I think it was just taking things very step by step and not rushing myself in any way. And that kind of allowed me to come back into the fold nicely. But I mean, I still have a lot of anxiety and it's just about knowing how to manage that.
And can I ask how do you manage that? Do you have any tips for people, or is it kind of something that you feel is intensely personal that isn't going to be applicable to others? Or
no, I mean, I'm a pretty open book. but I guess I probably don't really feel like I manage it very well. So I don't really have some golden answer at this point. I work for myself, and by doing that, yes, it adds a lot of anxiety to my life, but it also gives me the power and the freedom to go, it's too much right now. You need to step away. So for me, being out in nature and going for walks is like just a huge one. Being able to actually, yeah, like if everything just feels a bit much, either honestly going downstairs into my room and turning off all the lights and just watching something and feeling very comfortable and safe in a safe space, or going out and taking a stroller, being out in nature. Travel helps me out so much, because as long as my mind is fascinated by my surroundings, I don't feel the anxiety so much. So like constantly learning about new places and new histories, it helps me overcome my anxiety. But yeah, I think I've still got a long, in terms of managing work-based anxiety and social-based anxiety, I still don't really have an answer.
I don't know that a lot of people have answers to.
No, I mean, questions. I do feel like anxiety is a little bit like depression, or a little bit like PMS, or a little bit like a Crohn's flare up. It just comes and you just sit with it. You know, you just go, oh, hello, you're here. Okay, well, let me know when you're ready to bugger off again, you know. And so, like, it's more, I guess, if anything, it's just not resisting that space and going, okay, all right, that's where my mind is at right now. But yeah, work in progress.
Yeah.
Watch this space.
Always.
Yeah. Should we go for a more lighthearted question this time?
I think so.
All right. So if you could travel back to any moment in history to watch it unfold, what moment would you choose, knowing you can't change the outcome?
So I have a moment picked for this, but it's really, really morbid. And
okay.
I think the knowing that I can't change anything part is making me want to pick a different moment. But I actually would go back and find out what happened to JonBenet Ramsey.
Of all of them, not find out who Jack the Ripper is.
There's a few, right? There's a few unsolved. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd love to know who Zodiac was, but. The thing with them is it's like you would need to be at the moment, and then you would still need to do some kind of investigating to figure out who the person is, right? With JonBenet, we know kind of it was her brother, but I kind of want it to be really known. Oh, wait, no, maybe I'll change my answer to Maddie McCann.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe that one. I want to know what happened there.
That one's interesting. You just don't even know if she's a dead or alive. Yeah. Mm.
I mean, there's so many.
It's very Kirsty relevant.
But the knowing that I can't change anything is hard, because I'm not going to go back and watch a kid get murdered and not change anything. Mm. So that's really tricky. But it would be solved, like, if I could go back to any moment in history to watch it unfold, it would be a moment where it would be solving some kind of a mystery that even if I couldn't change anything at the time, that I could bring that knowledge back to now and be like, yo, everybody, I solved it. It's fine. Yes. So thank you, Bonnie, for that question. Did you have a moment, AJ? I think you said you couldn't really.
No, I don't know. I mean, there's so much of the present day to travel to. But I mean, it would probably be something like the meeting of two cultures, but that's, you know, the devastation that happens afterwards, it would kind of just be hard to watch. Like, I'd love to go and see Cortez riding into the Aztec capital city, you know, like, which was this absolute, like, if you read about it, it was this golden city on water. Like, it was just the most absolutely amazing place, full of bridges and temples and gold everywhere. And I would like to travel back just to see that.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, you know, yeah, it's more travel related than anything.
Or like Atlantis before it sank.
Did Atlantis actually exist? Is that confirmed?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Pardon me if it didn't. No, that's cool. What about things like any moment in history to watch it? Like, what about, oh, I know. I want to go back and watch the original Broadway cast perform Hamilton on Broadway. I don't need to change anything. I don't want to change anything. Like, that would be so cool. That would be really, really cool. Oh, Beyonce and Jay-Z's wedding. Because they've only ever released like snippets of footage from it, like seconds at a time. So I'd love to just go back and see what that was like. Oh no,
boring.
I'd love to go. No, I want to go to a Coachella performance live. Oh, there's so many moments. Okay, I gotta stop. But there's an adjacent question from Nay, who said, if you could time travel, but you could only travel to either the past or the future, which would it be? I don't know.
I don't care about the future. I'm happy to go to the past.
Yeah.
The future is dead.
I think I'd be the same. Dead. That, speaking of morbid, hello.
Yeah, no, it would be the past, but yeah.
But would you do like, I could use that for nefarious means, well, not nefarious means, but I could use that to help myself financially, you know, go forward and find out who wins the grand final or whatever and put a big bet down. Or, you know, I don't think I would want to go forward into the future and find out my future.
Yeah.
But if I could use it.
I'm very like back to the
future. Back to the future, I know. But if I could use it, if I could use the time travel to the future ethically for financial gain, I would do that.
I don't think that's a thing. Ethically for financial gain.
Come on. I'm not hurting anybody.
Well, you might. I mean, you have to be taking someone's money.
Okay, yeah, the TAB. I'm so sad for them. Oh, yeah, no, that would be it for me, I think.
Yeah. That's,
I don't know how I feel about myself now after that. Moving on. I think we've got one more fun question, which is, is there a fun fact or a hidden talent that people might not know about you that you have? Or is there a fun fact that you might not know about each other? And I can't really think of a fun fact.
And I'm such an open book.
Yeah.
And I talk too much anyway. So I feel like in my endless talking, someone would have learned everything.
Well, I mean, you just heard about my itchy boob. So I don't know that we have many secrets from each other.
No.
Or our listeners now.
No.
I do have a hidden talent though. It's very, very ridiculous. But oftentimes Dens will flick through TV channels while I'm in another room, but I can hear the audio. So I can't see anything, but I can hear the audio. And I have to guess what movie or TV show is on just based on the audio. And I can often get it correctly and fairly quickly as well. It's a very, very strange talent. He is constantly astounded by this. I have no idea how to translate this into anything worthwhile, but it's a talent that's there. I don't know why.
Okay.
I don't know why.
All right.
So you could just play me the dialogue from a movie that I've never seen, and I might be able to get like the idea of the genre or the story of the movie, and I might be able to recognize the actor's voice, and then I might be able to put it together and figure out what it is. But yeah, I'm pretty good at that. So if anyone wants to challenge me, let's go.
That is, I'm not keen to challenge you.
No, no, because you won't win.
No,
you won't win.
No, I got no inclination to challenge you there.
So being an open book, all of your talents are unhidden. Is that correct?
Oh, well, I mean, they might be hidden even to me.
I don't think that counts.
There is not a lot that I could talk about. No, I can't think of anything off the top of my head.
You can't do like a backflip, or you don't know the...
No. I did trampolining when I was little, and I was put in the... When they're training you with trampolining, they put you in a bungee so that it slows down your jumping so that you can practice flips. And the first time I ever did it, I thought it slowed you down a little bit more than it did, and I attempted a mid-air somersault and landed on my head, and my neck was in a lot of pain for a good 2 days afterwards. So I have no interest in catapulting myself through the air at all. So
yeah, okay, it was just an example. All right.
Well, now you know.
So our last questions, do you want to read them out maybe?
This one's actually from my sister, who said that if we'd met each other now as we are right now, would we become friends?
I think we covered this in the first one of the really early episodes. I don't know. I think it would depend on the circumstances under which we met each other. If it's a really brief meeting where our conversation can only be kind of superficial, Probably not, but that's not got anything to do with you or me. It's because I'm not making friends. I'm terrible at it.
I think if you know, for example, if you'd shown up at my co-working, you know, in my business group, I would have been very intrigued by you and I would have reached out. But I'm going to be completely honest here. Young mums are the worst people to become friends with.
Totally. Totally. 100%.
Like, I mean, absolutely love them, but their life is their child and they're A, not very available a lot of the time, really, really busy. And B, when you're getting to know someone, you mostly just end up getting to know their child. So not them. Whereas old friends who have young children want to get out and away from the child and not really necessarily have endless baby talk.
Yeah. So, did you notice all of my talk of hiring a nanny before if I had lots of money? Like, nanny, get me a nanny. Did you hear that I want a nanny? I'd get a nanny.
Yeah. So I do find children a serious impediment to friendship making when you are a single unencumbered person.
I'm so encumbered. I understand what you're saying fully. Yes.
You are. Well, yeah.
I'm look, very honestly, encumbered.
That
it's
kid's
the truth.
A barnacle hanging off you.
He
most
is.
Of the time, so.
He's a huge barnacle in my ass. He is. I love him. Yep. But wow. Yep. No, I get it. I get it. So no. So you think that it probably wouldn't go anywhere.
And I think I would have liked it to have gone somewhere, but I don't know that it would have gone somewhere because I think you would have really struggled to relate to me. And I would have struggled just to capture your attention.
Probably. So it's just, we would just be thwarted by circumstance.
Yeah, I'm speaking from experience of like having met a number of people I would love to get to know more, but the child becomes an insurmountable obstacle.
Yes, that is my child's middle name. Huxton Insurmountable, Surmountable Obstacle. Like, I can't even say it. He thinks his middle name is Pizza, so whatever.
Okay, all right. Maybe he'll get that changed legally.
I hope so. That's kind of cool. We went with Huxington Pizza Lay, but he has shortened it to Huxton Pizza Lay. So you say, what's your name? Huxton Pizza Lay. Okay. Good on you, mate.
Does he have a middle name?
No.
Okay.
For efficiency in life admin reasons.
Yeah.
I was like, he doesn't need one. Know. What do you need a middle name for?
I don't understand the point of middle names.
Okay. This episode needs to wrap up, so I'm not going to go on my rant, but I definitely could. There was a whole debate about this and it's basically me versus everybody in my family and everybody in Denny's family because everybody's like, yeah, middle name. And I was like, no, why? There was just, there's just no reason for it. It adds extra stuff on paperwork. And like Daniel couldn't get his Medicare linked to his MyGov or whatever for ages because they had his middle name as a second first name. And like, what a fuck around that is for something that doesn't mean anything. You don't need
to. I just think about like, do you even have the space on your passport, you know, when you're coming into, well, obviously that probably doesn't even happen anymore, but that little space on your passport, like most of my, I have a bunch of cousins who have two middle names. I mean, do you have space on your passport?
Why? What are they?
Incoming form.
What are they for? What are they for? I don't get it. Anyway.
I do agree with you.
Thank you. I'm glad to have an ally, but that was not the question. So the last question that we have, which follows on from the previous question is, why are we still friends? Crickets.
You make me laugh.
Aww. That's so sweet. I think we're still friends because there's so much history there. That's not the main reason. It's not the only reason, but the first reason that comes into my head is because we've been friends for so long and it would be so wrong to just let that go.
Yeah.
Because there's no reason to, you know, you enrich my life. I'm happy when I spend time with you. sure, we have nothing in common, as has been well established, but that's never been a problem for us because we've never had anything in common. So
no,
the question to me would be like, more like, why would we not still be friends?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's it. Like, I hope that having listened to this podcast, you'd be like, oh, okay, I get why they're still friends, you know, like having listened to us talk. And I think it's like you said, all of those years of history of spending life together means we are both really genuinely interested in how the other person's life is going.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we meet up, you know, it's actually quite rare to meet someone who you can have a conversation with where there is an equal distribution of chatting, you know, about, and like, you know, there are a lot of people out there who, I mean, I'm not always good at it, but who that will endlessly talk about themselves and not ask a lot about you. There's others who, you know, like, I think with us, whenever I meet you, it's always like I get to say everything I was planning to say to you. And I also get to hear everything about your life that's happening. And I never walk away, you know, speaking of anxiety, you know, I never walk away feeling anxious about our conversations and, you know, rehashing them, going, oh, I shouldn't have said that. Like, I always feel really comfortable.
Oh, that's so, like, really nice. Yeah. I'm exactly the same. It's easy being friends with you. And that's, again, not why I'm still friends with you, but like, it's easy and it's enjoyable. And, you know, I find that conversing with you makes me reflect a lot as well. Like, after our conversations, after our podcast recordings, I'm often really reflective of, what did we talk about today? You know, how did AJ approach a situation? Can I somehow incorporate that into my life? Because that seems like, you know, a healthy way to handle that situation. So I learn a lot from you. And yeah, I just.
But see, that's what I love about you, is that it's not like I go to you and you're just like, oh, this is happening and that's happening and it's all shit. You're always very reflective. You know, if you're telling me about something, a difficulty you're having at work or a fight that you've had with someone, it's never just putting the blame outwards. You're always really reflective about the situation. And so I love listening to you talk about anything, because you're always like very, I mean, I hate the word authentic, but you're very human about it.
Oh, you're so complimentary today. That's lovely. See, there's another tick in
that. Yes, the complimentary. You're very human.
The pros column for AJ. She gets another tick because she's so complimentary. No, look, I think that we could sit here gushing about each other all day, but I hope the listeners can hear that there's, you know, there's a lot of love here, and it would be, it would be very strange if in 20 years' time someone went, oh, do you remember that girl AJ that you used to be friends with? Like, that would break my heart. So I hope that in 20 years' time we're sitting here and we can answer this question again with the answer being, why wouldn't we still be friends?
Absolutely. Totally agree with you. 20 years' time, we'll revisit.
Okay. See you back here in 2042.
Oh, no, I knocked over the podcast. Oh, we almost got the whole way through our episode, people, without a mishap. But there you have it, the very real story of Kirsty and AJ.
That's how authentic I am.
We hope that you have enjoyed listening to our chats. It has been a lot of fun, honestly, so fun to be able to get on and share some of this with you. A huge thank you to everyone who rang us up or texted us in with quite vociferous contributions to
there's that vocabulary I want to emulate.
Well, it's a shame I can't actually pronounce it. Would you like to add anything?
Yeah, no, I also want to thank everybody for their feedback, for listening, for their support, for their questions today. They were really fun to answer. And we're planning to be back at some point, so don't unsubscribe. A new episode might just randomly pop up in your feed sometime in the next few months. But in the meantime, where can the listeners find us, AJ?
Instagram at Still Friends Pod.
Oh, woo! She got it right for the very last episode. Thanks, everybody. We love you. Bye.
Bye.